And good morning, everyone. We are had a little bit of a technical issue this morning, but I think we are good to go. I hope. Let me know if all is well. We should be live in both Facebook and as well on our church YouTube channel. So hopefully we got all of that squared away this morning. Giving everyone a chance to hop on. Give just a couple of minutes here and we will get started. Drop me a line in the comments when you join in. Let me know who's here with me today. And also, if you have any prayer requests that we can join with you praying about, please feel free to drop those in the comments as well. We are going to, Let me back up and start over. 21 days of growth, 21 days of prayer and fasting, something that obviously is important to each and every one of us, or it should be, building our relationship with God is probably, in my opinion, it is the most important part of your life. Above your family, your relationship with God is the priority. Above your work, above your, any commitments that you make, your relationship with God has got to be the mainstay. It's got to be the priority of everything that you do. It's got to be what centers your world. And so if you've got relationships that are pulling you away from God, then let's reconsider. Let's figure out how to manage those. If our commitments, extracurricular activities, and so forth. So we're spending 21 days of growth to develop and become more like the Lord and be more what He wants us to be in our everyday life. And so 21 days of prayer and fasting, 21 days of growth is our endeavor here. And we want you to join with us. Again, the fasting portion of what we're doing, the fasting portion is very much it's a personal commitment. It's a personal process. Whatever you are desiring, whatever you our wanting will determine the amount of sacrifice that you're willing to make. Each of us have the ability and the option here to decide. And so I want to encourage you to prayerfully consider how you go about your 21 days of prayer and fasting, how you spend your time in fasting. We've structured it in such a way that from sunup to sundown. Some can say that that's a cop out, but what I would encourage you to do is make that at least a 12-hour commitment. You know, whether that be from 6 to 6 or from 7 to 7, whatever your preference may be. But even then, when you do break your fast, I would encourage you to break it with caution, break it still with a level of sacrifice, maybe even doing a Daniel fast in those hours that you're not in a full fast, something along those lines, because it's about the sacrifice. It's about you making that commitment and that level of sacrifice. And so I want you to be mindful of that. Received a couple of text messages yesterday after we were on And one of them was concerning the reference that we made of closing the gap. And this year, I feel like that this year I struggled a little bit with where we were going to take this year as a church, you know, kind of trying to find that that focus, that theme. And I think I really felt compelled yesterday as I was presenting, you know, the next 21 days, that phrase of closing the gap is kind of going to be a central theme for us this year. I want to focus everything that we do as a church. I want to focus everything that I do as a leader in our local congregation and everything that I do personally, more importantly, in my relationship with God, to close the gap between me and Him, to be closer to Him by the end of the day today than I was at the beginning of the day. And how we do that, obviously, time and, you know, in reading the Word of God, daily audio Bible. If you haven't got that app and gotten it started, I'd encourage you to do that. If you're not an audio Bible person and you haven't started a Bible reading plan for this year, I would encourage you to do that. I want to encourage everyone to, again, a challenge that I made Thursday night to everyone at Bible study was that beginning this year, I wanted to encourage everyone and challenge everyone to read the Bible through in its entirety this year. And of course, Brother D is working with our family ministry and promoting that. And so please be in contact with him if you have any questions about ways that you can do that. He has the bread charts, the digital copies, and I believe maybe even have some hard copies now at this point. But I want to encourage you to get involved in that. The second challenge that I made on Thursday was that of everyone memorizing at least a verse per week this year. So 52 verses that you would memorize, 52 verses of scripture that you would memorize between the 1st of January in 2025 and the 1st of January 2026. So that being said, those are the challenges that have been set forth, reading our Bible through its entirety and memorizing a verse per week every week for the remainder of this year. And in doing so, we are growing closer to God. We're getting closer to the Lord and closing that gap. And but today, thank you so much for joining with me. Those of you that are on now, if you're joining us later, please get involved in the comments, like, share, and comment, and subscribe to the YouTube channel so that you can stay connected there. As we move forward and we utilize that, you know, that part of our social media presence and that part of our ministry, we want you to connect with us there. So connecting with us here on Facebook, connect with us on Instagram, as well as on YouTube there at CalTab Quincy. And then also these episodes, each one of these daily sessions, Bible studies, whatever you want to call them, will be posted to our in the Tab Talk podcast. So you'll be able to catch each episode there. It'll be on podcast platforms, both Apple and Spotify. But nonetheless, we want to get started today. And I want to turn your attention, first of all, to the book of John, chapter 10 and verse 27. If you have your book, if you have your book there with you, we are continuing to use the book on prayer. Brother Ken Gurley, Pastor Ken Gurley, First Church in Pearland, Texas. We are using that as our guide for our daily sessions. And John chapter 10 and verse number 27, John writing, he says to us, he says, my sheep, or Jesus speaking more specifically, says, my sheep hear my voice, and they know, and I know them, and they follow me. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Prayer as a believer has it's a believer's benchmark, if you will. Some lecture, others would theorize, but we as children of God must be individuals of prayer, not just someone that, you know, is a person that prays, but becoming a praying person. There is a difference in being a person that prays and becoming a praying person. The difference is, and we referenced yesterday, the difference is someone that prays only prays when life is hard, because that's when prayer is easy. But a praying person prays when life is easy, because even then, sometimes praying is hard to do. I hope prayer is already a passion for you. I hope that it is. But for some of us, it takes some, it takes a little bit of an effort. It takes a little bit more of a concerted effort, if you will. But prayer found in Scripture, Jesus speaking, and he says that statement, you know, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I would pause to say it like this. I think that a lot of times when we get into the mode of praying, oftentimes we just get in the mode of telling. We get in the mode of just talking and telling the Lord what we need and saying, God, I need you to do this. I need a miracle. I need this to happen. I need that to happen. I need this to take place. And we just have that. It's actually inherent, I guess. We always want to be heard. That's human nature, wanting to be heard. But Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice. So I would say that there's got to be a point that you also spend time in, not just talking, but that you spend time listening to the voice of God. As sheep of the Lord's pasture, we may not always see the Lord. We may not always see what he's doing. And a statement that I've heard several years ago, and I absolutely love it, is that I can still trust him even if I can't track him. So there may be some times that I may not be able to see where he's taking me. I may not be able to know where this road is going to go. I thought about it yesterday. The Jacksons, you know, I believe yesterday was the year mark of the loss of their daughter and you know, tragic loss. And that year of first, I think, is probably one of the most difficult years of our lives, that when we lose someone that we love and tragically they're young, or, you know, whatever the case may be, you know, there's that season of life that's difficult. We can't, that doesn't track, that doesn't make sense. But I believe wholeheartedly, and I love the fact of knowing that I can trust God even when I can't track him. Even when these things don't make sense, I can still trust him. I may not be able to track what he's doing, but I can trust the process. And, you know, Proverbs, the writer of Proverbs would say, you know, trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not to your own understanding, but in all of your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. And so when the Lord reveals himself to us in the Old Testament, in Genesis, in his creation, he did so in a unique way. He says that they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. God introduces himself as the voice that travels with us, as the voice that's going with us. And that may surprise some of you. You may have grown up when people openly boasted that they hadn't heard God's voice for years. Maybe you've been that person that's said in times, you know, it's been so long since I heard from God. But I hastily admit that at times God may grow silent. But my question to us today is, can your faith outlast God's silence? That's a question that we need to be willing to ask ourselves. The voice of God, of the Lord walking, would lend itself to the idea and the concept that in order for me to hear him clearly, then I need to be walking with him. In order for me to hear what he's saying, if I were to go across the room away, if I stepped away from the technology that we're using today, the volume changes because of the distance between us. The volume changes because of the gap there it is, the gap between us. So if I'm going to hear God, I'm going to have to remain close to him. If I'm going to hear his voice, then I've got to remain consistent. He, you know, he sees we are needing him, and he begins to speak to us. But the question is, will we draw near to him? What does the scripture say? We draw nigh unto him. He draws near to us. And, you know, and so I want to be close to him. My faith must outlast his silence. But in the moments that it's that still small voice, I want to be close enough to him that I can still hear him. And so God sometimes is silent. However, in those moments of silence, what's the point? What's the logic? What's the reason for it? Maybe he's testing us. Maybe it's him trying to teach us a few things. Maybe he wants to remind us that he is God. Maybe he wants to teach us a lesson. Maybe he just wants us to listen for him. I know there are times as a parent, and I know that probably every parent can attest to this fact, that there are times that I've been in conversation with my children, and as I'm talking, they're doing something else. They're on their phone, or they're talking to someone else, or they're talking, you know, they're trying to make their point to their mother or myself. And I just get quiet, and I let them finish what they're saying. And then they kind of look at me, and okay, with not sarcasm, not being rude or disrespectful. Okay, are you done? Okay, now here, why? Because I want you to pay close attention to what I'm saying as your dad. I want you to pay attention to what I'm saying. So sometimes God grows silent because, well, we don't shut up long enough for him to say anything. We don't stop. We don't take a breath. We just keep rambling. And God's saying, if you'll stop for a minute, I want to talk to you. And so sometimes his silence is because of our racket. And so he wants us to listen to him. So the question then becomes, how does God speak to us? He speaks to us in numerous ways. He speaks to us through his word. We talked about that. Each word of the Bible is God breathed. It is inspired. What he says, Second Timothy 3:16. You know that the word of God is inspired. It's good for doctrine, for reproof, and for correction. He speaks to us through miracles. He speaks to us through circumstances. He speaks to us through audible voices. But oftentimes he speaks to us through just personal impressions. There are times that he speaks to us just through our own thoughts. Isn't it funny? I find it interesting that oftentimes the voice of God sounds an awful lot like my thoughts. That his voice sounds like my thoughts. But the further I get from him, the harder it is for me to hear from him. But as I move and throughout my day, and as I move throughout my life, I'm reminded of the fact that God invites us to walk with him. We're not asking God, you know, God, would you join me on my journey? God is asking us to join him. And I think that's where modern Christianity has lost its grip. I really do. I think that modern Christianity has lost its way because we've created this idea that living for God and Christianity is about me, you know, asking God to, you know, again, please pardon the reference because I know it is a quote unquote play on words, but we, you know, invite, you know, into my heart, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. That's biblical, absolutely. But he didn't say, invite me to join you as you just traverse and make, you know, your own. No, he says, if any man would come after me, let him take up his cross and follow me. And I feel compelled, and oftentimes we all should, but feel convicted by the fact that he's asking me to join him. He didn't say, hey, Brandon, I'll come hang out with you. No, he's asking me to walk with him. He's asking me to to follow after him. Jesus affirmed that his sheep would hear his voice at meaningful moments. And it was, we can hear him if we're two things, if we're close enough and if we're listening. But God promises to be our guide, not just our companion. I want to say that, church folks, I'm going to say that again because I want to help somebody. God said in his word that he would be our guide. That word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path, right? Take up your cross and follow him. These are biblical references. He promises to be our guide, not our roadmap. He promises to lead us in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He promises to lead us through the valley of the shadow of death. He promises, God promises to reveal his path. He does not promise us the ready answer. God promises a process to mold us. He doesn't promise to be our shortcut. He doesn't promise to be just this, you know, this fix-all, this end-all, be-all. He promises to be our guide. He promises, he's not our get-out-of-jail-free card, if you will. He is our guide. He is that one that leads us to these religious folks at this moment. Jesus assured them that his sheep heard him in John chapter 10, and that they would follow him. He also said, I know them. In effect, Jesus answered their question with an observation. If you had walked with me, you would know me. God talks to those who walk with him. God will talk to those that are walking with him. Christians were first called followers of the way in Acts chapter 9. Verse number 2, Acts chapter 19, verse 9 and verse 23, Acts chapter 22 and verse 4, Acts 24 and 14. The emphasis seems to be not merely on learning doctrine, but also to have a growing walk with the one who was called the way. John 14 and 6. When Jesus called the 12 disciples, he invited them for a twofold purpose. The first purpose was for them to be with him. Mark chapter 3 and verse 14, he says, then he appointed 12 that they might be with him, not he with them. And so they walked with him for 3 years. They walked with him, but they did not always know him. They listened to him for 36 months, but they did not comprehend him. For 156 weeks, 208 hours and 1,572,480 seconds, they only partially grasped what he was and what he had called them to do. Because it takes a lifetime to know him, so today might be a good day for each of us to start. And today, as we try and make a commitment to walk with him, day one, I would finalize this. John said, if we walk in the light as Jesus is the light, we will follow him in the paths of victory. 1 John 1 and 7. You're not going to live in darkness. You will have the light of his eternal and abundant life within you. John chapter 8 and verse 12 says that he is the light of the world, and that if any man walk in him, the light of life is in him. So most importantly, you will become like him. You will sound like him. You will think like him. You will speak like him. I was reminded here recently something that happened. I don't remember the exact conversations and how it unfolded, but there was had a conversation with someone, and they said to me, they had a conversation prior to our conversation with my wife. And they said, well, I talked with your wife, and that's exactly what she said you would say. Interesting, isn't it? Because after all these years, 23 years of marriage, she knows what I think. She knows how I think. She knows my thoughts. She knows how I view things. Why? Because, well, we've been close for the past 23, 24 years. We've been growing closer together every day. So the more you are near him, the more like him you become. You remember the accusation made on Passover Eve against Simon Peter, right? The darkest moment of nights for him, a chief apostle. But there was a revealing comment that was made from the strangers around the enemy's fire that night. There was a comment that was made. They said, "Surely you also are one of them, because your speech betrays you." I think that's kind of a very telling point for us today. Does your speech betray you? Walk with him long enough and you start reflecting him in how you live, how you think, how you respond, how you speak, how you interact, how you treat others. Not just how you treat your brothers at church. Not just how you treat them. How do you treat Judas? The closer you are to him, the longer you are walking with him, the more you reflect him in all of your ways. Not just in your interaction with people that you know and that you love, but even with those that have hurt you, those that have betrayed you, those that have wounded you, left you scarred, broken, and in tattered pieces. How you interact with them is a great reflection of how close you are to him. So I can think of no higher compliment than that you and I would walk with the walking voice of God long enough to become like him, for our actions to be like his, to open our mouth and decree or to amplify what God is saying to each of us and what his word is declaring in each of our lives. So today, as we bring this to a conclusion, if we draw to a close of this morning, I want to encourage you that you spend some time today, maybe just with the old song. And I thought about it this morning as I was getting ready. That old song, "Just draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, nearer to thy precious bleeding side." I want to be closer to the Lord today. At the end of this day, when the sun sets today, and I lay my head on my pillow tonight, I want to be more like him. And what boggles my mind today, friends, is the fact that he wants to walk with me. He wants me to walk with him, and he wants to walk with me. But it's when I'm walking in his path and letting him be my guide. So say it with us today. I want to walk with you, Lord. I want to walk with the Lord today. So would you join with me today, making a commitment and making it a priority? And as we close today, just with a moment of prayer, I want you to pray with me and say, "God, would you help me to draw closer to you? Because this year, I want to endeavor to close the gap between me and my Lord." Would you pray with me this morning? Heavenly Father, I love you today. God, I thank you that you have loved us enough. You love us. You care for us enough, God, that you are here with us. You walk with us. But God, you're calling us to walk with you. You're calling us to follow you. We're not asking you to come follow us and to just bail us out when we get in trouble. But God, I want to follow after your voice today. I don't want to get this backwards this morning. I want to get it in the right order, and I want to follow after you and after the leading of your word and after the leading of your Spirit. So I'm asking you this morning, God, to go with us. I'm asking you, God, that you would keep your hand upon us. I'm asking you, Lord, that you would speak to us, that you would lead us, that you would guide us. And we're going to thank you and we're going to give you the praise for it. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Guys, I hope y'all have a great day. And so just go. Be like him. The closer you are to him, the more you act like him, the more you act like him, the more you treat others the way he wants us to treat others. So go be about the Father's business today. I love y'all. God bless you. Be humble, be kind. We'll see y'all tomorrow morning right back here, 7 a.m. for day 2 of 21 Days of Growth. God bless you.